Wow. So tonight we are into prayer. We've been discussing the subject of faith at another level, but tonight we are getting it into prayer. But there is something that I want to share with you, all right? I want everybody else to come on your screen. All right, if you are into this program, come on your screen, and I need your attention. All right, I need your attention right now. Whatsoever you're doing, but just give your attention to what is about to happen, because you might be the only person, the whole building, that God wants to touch. I have seen that before, where we went into a conference and so many people were there, and the conference was full, and I ministered and I taught the word and I preached the word, then I mentioned the name. I said, "I'm hearing this word." They said, "She was here. She just left." And that was the only name that God that day gave me to prophesy to. And the enemy had intelligence that she was about to be delivered. And the enemy said, "Leave now." And I said, "That woman who was here, I wanted to pray for her." I said, "Who knows her?" Say, "Oh, we know her, we know her." I said, "That woman, there is something we wanted to stop, and I want her to be here. That she, God told me to touch her head 3 times. Because I see the enemy." I didn't speak. What I saw was going to happen. The following day, she got an email to say, "You had applied for this position. It was a very good position, a very big position. You applied for this position, and the leadership, we had a thought of you. Unfortunately, there's another option that we decided, so we are not considering you anymore." So she followed us. They say, "Papa, please, there's a woman outside here. And they're saying that yesterday you prophesied, and today she was waiting for this position. So what will you do now?" There was nothing we could do. So sometimes, if it's your time, behave as one. The power, the new economy in the modern industry isn't in your degrees. Isn't in what you know. It is in positioning. Those who know how to position themselves have got an equity that is hidden. Am I talking to somebody? Understand? So when we're dealing with the value, it is not just about what you have, who you know, it's about positioning. 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 This is power mastery. Positioning. How you position yourself. In this world, it's not doing things as usual. And that's why so many people are failing, because the world has evolved. But so many people have not what? Have not moved. The world has moved. The world has moved. Everything has shifted. Everything, including ministry, everything has shifted. Everything is moving extremely fast, and so many people do not understand where the world is. Now it's about positioning. Positioning. How you position yourself. In those days, it was our parents became rich because they were working hard. But not this generation. This generation, you will not become successful because you're working so much. If working much in this generation would make billionaires, then the construction workers would be trillionaires by now. But if you're a construction worker and you know positioning, it will shift your life. So it's about positioning, how you position. Now, are you positioning yourself as a problem solver. Imagine you come in a community and you're looking to buy for something and you can't find it in the whole community. That thing that is missing that you're trying to buy that is you can't find, it isn't just a product that is missing. It is a business what idea. It tells you, if you're looking for it, it means there's a demand. And if you can't find it, there is a need. If you can meet the need, now you have positioned yourself as a solution. Value is following those who can position what? Themselves. So it's positioning. It isn't just a, oh, I have this, I have got this passion. Passion will not pay your rent. It won't. Find real problems, solve them nicely, make the value. And that only if you understand the positioning. So Joseph did not fight to say, I want to come out of this prison. The only thing he did, he discovered people who, after their prison sentence, would go back and work in the palace. He positioned himself with them and to them as friends and began to show his discernment skills by interpreting their dreams and telling them that when they go out, they should remember him. He positioned himself with a fellow prisoner worker who had value. He wasn't just befriending prisoner workers. He looked for the one who had value. And that is what is different. It makes people understand. In this modern world, positioning is the new economy. Understand this, your ideas, how you think, how you pray, position yourself. What made Zacchaeus attract Jesus to visit his house was nothing else. Positioning. He climbed the tree and Jesus saw him. Just that positioning. So if there's a thing that you should be praying for, pray that God should help you to position yourself in the right places, in the right moments, with the right people. Otherwise, the enemy also has prepared his own team, packaged them as good people, and he will position them on your way. So all the times you've just been meeting problem after problem after problem, the enemy has packaged them. They're coming to you, they're calling you Sissy. Like, hi, my Sissy, my sister. But it's a package of the enemy. So before I teach, I want you to speak this. Raise up your right hand and say these words. Heavenly Father, help me to position myself in the corridors, in divine corridors, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that I position myself in places of divine influence where connections pass through, where prosperity passes by. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen. Tonight, we'll have a few minutes to pray, but I want to show you a very important thing because we are in prayer, and praying intelligently becomes the most important thing than just praying randomly. So, I want to show you the three levels of ghost spirit visitation. This is important as a supplementary of the teaching I spoke about concerning faith. You see, the Holy Spirit is the driver. Whatsoever we do, favor, grace, faith, everything, the Holy Spirit is the driver. So So we have a lot of people who do not understand that their relationship with the Holy Spirit is of vital importance, and the visitation of the Spirit has got a key role in reshaping how your life will move forward from now. What the Spirit of God did upon you a year ago has nothing to do with it today. So, there are three levels of the Spirit visitation upon a life of a believer. They are not four. They are not two. And it's not one. They are three. I'm not making them. They're in the Bible. It's scripture, and I'm going to show you. So, you need these three visitations of the Spirit, not once. You need them again and again. Somebody say amen. So, we are going to see the three visitations of the Spirit because you need this. When the Spirit of God reaches you on these levels, you're going to understand that there was a point that you are missing. You weren't missing the actual point, but you are missing the information. And information is power. Get this out. God wants to do something upon you, and it deals whatsoever God is about to do with you. It will involve the Spirit of God in this season. Are you understanding? So let's go into scripture. You ready? John chapter 2, verse 23. And we'll jump to verse 28 to 29.
Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
Verse 28.
And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Again, read again. And also
on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Mm-hmm. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
Thank you. All right, go back verse 23. We're going to read in NIV. All right, King James Version first, King James.
Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month.
All right, thank you so much. And then I'll pour out my spirit. Now go to NIV, verse 23.
Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before.
Thank you. The same verse we're going to read in New Living Translation.
Rejoice, people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrate his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring.
Okay. Now, I want to read this scripture. Be glad then, children of Zion, and rejoice in Adonai your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain, as before. Now, I want to say this to all of you here. We are seeing the three types of rain here. And the third rain is connected with verse 28. Now, what we are seeing here from the scripture is not just a scriptural explanation. It is historically, geographically, and scientifically explanation. Now, here is the facts. Number one that I want you to see. If you come from a background that you've been in the farms, there are three types of rain. There is the first rain, which is known as the early rain. Here in this region, Malawi, South Africa, Zimbabwe, it normally comes either late October or early November. It's called the early rain. This rain comes as a warning. It comes as a confirmation. It comes to prepare people that rain is about to come. And this rain mainly is for the farmers. And farmers know it. And in different countries, they call it a name. There is a name that farmers call it. And this rain is the early rain. In Hebrew, it's called the Yore. Say Yore. Yore is the first rain. Now, this rain comes early. It comes to a farmer to tell a farmer that I am here. But it is not the last rain. Then, the abundant rain comes for a farmer. This is the one that produces the seed to grow. It makes the seed to grow. But when the seed has grown, you now need the rain that will make what you have planted get harvested. And that rain is known as the latter rain. So the second rain, it is what pours out on what you plant to make the things grow. And this rain is known as the abundant rain. In Hebrew, it's called the matar rain. And when this rain pours, the farmer still needs the latter rain, which falls to make the things get harvested. This one outpours. Sometimes it can rain the whole night. Sometimes it can rain the whole day and the whole night. When you see that rain starting to fall, it has jumped from the abundant rain to the latter rain. The latter rain normally falls not just in abundance, it outpours. Am I talking to somebody? This is the rain that causes floods, that causes a lot of things to happen. It is not just a rain, it is outpouring. Having explained this, now you understand the metaphor. When the scripture was written, it was written as a metaphor to show you how the Spirit of God will manifest. Then when it speaks of the latter rain, It says, then I'll pour out, which is the latter rain, because the latter rain is what? The rain that what? Pours out. It falls beyond abundance. It may fall the whole night. It is the latter rain that brings the harvest. You will not have the harvest without what? The latter rain. That's why the latter rain is important in agriculture. Whatsoever is planted for it to be harvested, you need the latter rain. Not just the abundant rain. Not just the early rain. The Spirit of God has been metaphorically explained in this sense. So let's go into scripture. Okay. So the Bible tells us, I love this. Be glad then, children of Zion, and rejoice Adonai your God, for he has given you the what? The early rain, yore. Are you here? I want you to see something that is important. We are going to do something just now. I want you to see this. We are going to go into scripture. So, in John 2, verse 28 to 29, it says, it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit. The word spirit there is the word ruach. But I want you to go to Acts 2:17.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh.
All right. So the word pour out there is the same word that is being used on rain on the book of Joel. I'll pour out. Now, how will God pour out? This is Peter quoting that scripture. And that scripture is talking about a prophecy. How the spirit will be poured out. How will he be poured out? The early arrival of the spirit upon the life of a believer. Then the abundant arrival of the Holy Spirit. And then the latter what? Arrival. Then the scripture tells us, when will there be activity? It's not the early arrival. It's not the abundant arrival. It is the outpouring arrival. It says this is the level now where they will begin to prophesy. They will dream dreams. And then God says, I will show my signs. So where God shows signs, it's not in the early. Okay. Now let's see this scripture quickly before we do something else. In James 5, verse 7.
Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain.
Wait, you see that? So, you see the early rain from the scripture? It says, until the what? You see, it says the farmer waits until it receives the early and the latter rain. So, you can see the early rain here. Are you seeing the early rain? No, I want you to say with me, are you seeing the early rain? When you as a believer receive Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit, that does not mean you are at a point where certain things can begin to happen. That is a level of early rain. And we have so many believers who have just a touch of the early rain and they are still stuck there. The Bible says, are you still here? Or somebody said, I need the latter rain. Say it again. I need the latter rain. Oh, yeah, yeah. You need that. Now, we're going to explain something that I want you to understand, because most believers wonder. They even have the audacity to ask God, like, I've been praying for so many years and my life is just like this. Well, sometimes it's also the type of rain. So many believers are not enjoying the presence of the Spirit. Let me show you. The Holy Spirit is going to pour in your house tonight. John 3, verse 5 to 6.
Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
All right, so I want you to understand something that is important. If I may ask you a question, I am a farmer. So I know what the early rain is all about. Why does the early rain comes? The early rain that falls, its main job, it's not to germinate seeds. It is to what? To soften the ground. True or false? The early rain, its job is to what? To soften the ground. And when Jesus looks at you, he looks at you as the ground. That's what the Bible says. A farmer took his seed and he planted some, and the ground was what? Had thorns. And he planted some on this ground, on that ground, and on that ground. Do you understand? So we are like the ground. And then the Bible says the first rain, when the Holy Ghost came upon you, the first outpouring of the Spirit, it is to soften your heart. Now that the Holy Ghost came upon you, you are softened. You say, let me pray. You're able to pray. Before, that was difficult. But your heart has been what? Softened. To fulfill the prophecy of Ezekiel, which says, and I will remove the heart of stone, and I will give them the heart of flesh, and I will cause them to walk in my status. I will put my Spirit within them. So the first appearance of the Spirit of God upon your life isn't for any other thing but to soften you. Right now you're watching me because he has softened you to do so. Before you would be doing other things. But now you're able to be softened. You're able to fast, you're able to pray, you're able to give, you're able to do something. Because you don't even understand. Sometimes you feel like you're just doing it, but trust you me, there is a force behind it. And the force is the force of the Holy Spirit. It is he who has made you right now to be seated here, to be watching it. There is a force behind. You have tried to resist it, but that force is the airy outpouring that softens you to pray. It softens you to believe. It softens you. Before, if somebody would tell you the very same things I'm telling you now and you are believing, you would not believe. But what makes you to believe is what? The softening rain. The rain that softens the ground. That early arrival of the Holy Ghost softened the what? The ground. But do not get stuck here, because this is the early stage of the arrival of the Spirit. Somebody say, I'm here. Then from here, Jesus said, are you here right? Yes. Jesus said, let me show you something that is important before we move here. John 20, verse 22.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
Again.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
So Jesus breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Now, if you see the following verse, what happened to them? What happened to them?
If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.
Okay. Continue reading.
Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came.
Okay, stop there. See this. He breathed on them and said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. These are the disciples. But then, in Acts 1 verse 8, we go to now another level, which is the level of the abundant level, the matter level. Can you read it? But you shall what?
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Now, remember, these are the very same people that he said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if he is saying this, did they receive the Holy Spirit or not? They did. But what is he saying? He says, now, what you are operating on right now, it's the early level. Here, sins can be forgiven. Here, you can do other things. But it's not the level of empowerment. Then he says there is a certain position in the spirit where the Spirit of God comes in abundance. When he comes in abundance, here you have power. So scripture tells us, but you shall receive power when what?
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
And you shall.
And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Do you know the meaning of witness? Do you know the meaning of witness? A witness is somebody who has an evidence. So, scripture tells us that you cannot give evidence if you have not begun to operate at the level of empowerment when the Spirit now is upon you. When power is working upon you. So there are believers today who just received the early stage where the Spirit of God is with them. They pray, trust me, but there is no power. You do not need science to know whether you have power or not. It is the fear you have. It is the anxiety you have. If you have not gotten to a level where you know that tomorrow this is going to happen because I have the power of God upon me, you have not yet reached this level. It is what gives you the boldness. Power. It is what gives you boldness. When Peter was hiding in Acts chapter 2, hiding with other disciples, hiding, they were in a room. That moment, Jesus has been killed by the Jews. And all the Jews were gathered together in a stadium. And Peter is hiding. When the Holy Ghost came upon them, the same man who was hiding opened up and walked out of the door. And went where the Jews were gathered. The people who killed Jesus. He went to them. And he began to preach to them. And the same day, about 5,000 people of the people who killed Jesus gave their lives to Jesus. Why? There was what? Empowerment. What gave him the audacity and the confidence to go wasn't the zeal or egoism. He went there because the man was endued with the power. Power makes you to make decisions that others are scared. Power makes you to make some moves in life that people cannot do. It is not just to say, I've got the Holy Ghost upon me, hallelujah. Let's sing, hallelujah, Holy Spirit upon me. Then you say, no, it is not the songs in church. It is the experience outside. When you face the world, when you go in the marketplace, when you go, when you, how you face the audacity, the Holy Ghost has been misplaced. So many people only use the Holy Ghost in church. He is not just in church, sir. The Holy Ghost, we need to use Him as we go out. When we enter that office, we take over because the power, this is the reign in abundance. Am I talking to somebody here? It is a place where we show people that we are not just talking, but we can prove it. It is a place of witnessing. It is a place we are not just telling you, we can prove to you. Peter, people were doubting. They said, we don't believe in all what you are doing. We don't believe in what you are doing. All what you are preaching, we don't believe it. I'm not talking to you. The Bible, there was a huge argument when he preached the people in Acts chapter 2. In chapter 3, the same people were doubting. It was now on Sabbath. It was not the time for prayer. Peter now goes through the beautiful gate. After preaching to them, then it was on the day of Pentecost when he preached to them. Now he wants to give evidence of what he was preaching. He finds a man who was born lame from his mother's womb, begging. Peter said, silver I do not have, gold I do not have, but what I give you, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the Bible says the cloud was watching. The man that was born lame stood up and began to walk. And everybody came and said, truly, what you are preaching is true. This is a level you have not yet demonstrated to your neighbors. This is a level that your family members do not see upon you. You have not proven to them. You have not shown them that the power is upon you. Peter is doing these things immediately when the Holy Ghost came upon him. When he was empowered, he is now being a witness. And true to the word of Jesus, he is starting in Jerusalem. As he said, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. And the next miracle that's going to happen, it happened in Judea. Am I speaking to somebody here? Witnesses, being giving evidence. So there are people that are looking at you. They see, they know how you are struggling. We need to show them what? Evidence. And I prophesy. I say I prophesy. They will see this evidence. But do you understand the duty of the Holy Ghost? Do you understand the duty of the Holy Spirit? A few days ago, God was speaking to me. He said, do you know why many people don't see signs and wonders? I said, you know. He said, the reason why many people do not see signs is because they think signs are for them. I was surprised. A sign, it is a post that points somewhere. So if something has to happen upon you, it must be a sign to people and it must point to Jesus. But the problem is, you want things that must point to you.
It's powerful.
And God said, as long as this thing will continue, I will not do it. Signs must point. If you are walking and you are driving, and then you see a sign pointing, and it mentions the name, it tells you that where it is showing you, that's where it is. I am here just to show you that it's there. Any miracle upon you must point to Jesus to say it's up there. But the problem is, that's not what you are thinking. You are not thinking that your miracle, that healing should point, people should see. You are looking it for your health. You are joking. You think God will just be happy, will just be moved because you are feeling pain. Do you know how many people are sick right now? Do you know how many are in pain more than your pain?
You're speaking, sir.
But what will heal you is when your attitude changes.
Powerful.
To say, I want this to point.
The glory. For the glory.
So what separates miracles? It is the pointing. Powerful. Will you point? Will it point? Mm-hmm. I told you one day, I was praying for people. I told you this, and I've been telling you this. I was praying for people. There was a man on a wheelchair. The man stood up and began to walk. One guy took a microphone and said, "Major, what is dangerous?" I never thought about that. When I went to home to sleep, God reminded me. He said, "That was pride. Why didn't you stop it? It was not you." I moved with the fear of the Lord. I knelt down. I said, "God, forgive me. You were supposed to receive the glory." And I called the guy. I said, "Next time, if God makes a miracle, don't say Major One is dangerous." I said, "God, Jesus. There are things you may not pay attention, but they may not be pointing to God. They may be pointing at you." I'm trying to talk to you. Am I speaking to you? Be careful. That's why prophets are supposed to be very careful. You may end up trying to show people that it's you and pointing to people that it's me. And that's dangerous. That's why prophetic ministry is a very sensitive calling. If you want to be powerful in life, let your sign point to Jesus. Your deliverance point to Jesus. But the problem is, it's just about you. It's about yourself, your selfishness. Like, "I'm passing through. I want to be set free. I am passing. I've got no money now. I want a miracle to happen. I want to pay fees. I'm having this problem. I'm having..." So to you, it's about you. "I want this to be done in my life. I am tired. I'm going through. I want Jesus to God to show up." Sir, signs can only happen not to ease your pain, but to point.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Am I talking to somebody? Yes. Signs can only point. I'm trying to talk to somebody here.
Man, you're talking.
Signs must what? Point.
They point.
Are you understanding? In Psalm 115, verse 1, okay? What does the word of God say?
"Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but your name give glory because of your mercy and because of your truth."
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. But to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. In NIV, it says what?
"Not to us, Lord, not to us, but your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness."
Raise up your two hands. Say, "Father, I confess. Wherever it all pointed at me, may the glory go back to you. Father, may this healing bring glory to your name. Father, may this deliverance bring glory to your name. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto you be the glory. Let this financial breakthrough bring glory to your name. Pour out the abundant rain. Pour out the abundant rain. Pour out the Holy Ghost. Let this breakthrough bring glory to your name. Let this miracle bring glory to your name. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name." This is the level of abundance. You must be very careful. It is a level of witnessing, evidencing, giving evidence. This also tells you, you can never be a witness if you're not somebody before a court. This is a level where you'll be accused and you have to prove. The enemy will say you are poor. You have to prove him wrong. You're not getting it. The enemy will say you are sick. You have to prove him wrong. You must be ready to show evidences. I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. Somebody say, "I've got evidence to prove my case." This is a level of outpouring, I mean of pouring the Spirit of God in abundance. The power of God comes upon you. This is a level of prayer. This is a level of supplication. It's a moment you cry to God. It's a place where you feel prayer. There is hunger. The endless stage. You can pray. You cannot. Sometimes you feel far away from God. Sometimes you feel like I should pray. But here on abundance, the Spirit is upon you. The Spirit is upon you. Jesus said, He is upon me because He has anointed me to preach, heal, to prove, to give evidences. This is a level of the Spirit upon you. The Spirit upon you. But how did Jesus Christ operate? He operated beyond just the Spirit being upon Him. Now you get to a level of outpouring. This is when now I put water in a bottle. And I put that bottle upon my head. The moment I put more water inside that bottle upon my head, it outpours. That's the latter rain. This is when the Spirit is not just upon you, but is with you. It's not just on you, but with you. I want you to understand something here. I know such type of teachings are the teachings most people do not understand the most. Most people pay attention, but few master such teachings. But I'm telling you, if I can preach in 100 years from now, and I can be asked, which teaching should you teach again? It will be teachings like these. I know what I'm talking about. Many believers are gone. If I were to talk now about breakthrough, everybody wants to hear it. But the teachings to create a relationship with the Holy Spirit, they'll be hearing you with one ear. And by tomorrow, by Wednesday next week, all this teaching will be gone out of your mind. I can challenge you. And you'll be crying every day to say you don't know why your life is through the same. Jesus Christ said, until when shall I be with you? In Acts 2, verse 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance.
All right. In Joel 2:23. He says,
be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
The word latter rain is the word makosh, which means the rain that produces harvest. You can move in signs, in wonders, in miracles, but no harvest. I've seen people, God using them, miracles happening. But to move into Makosh, the outpouring, which says, and then I will pour out my Spirit. Say Makosh. This isn't just a happening, a random spin. No. This is when you have the Spirit, you have the abandon of the Spirit, but you go in your room, you pray until you feel that there is an outpouring of the Spirit. It shows, trust you me, when you go alone in your room to pray, and you are praying and you are praying and you are committing yourself to the Spirit of God, not your problem. You know, there are most people, they make a mistake. They think they are so prayerful these days. No, you're not prayerful these days. You are just under panic attack. It's just something you're praying for. So you are mistaken to say, my spiritual life these days is better. Hey, these days I'm praying a lot. No, you're not praying a lot. You are begging a lot. We are talking about where you go in a room and start speaking in tongues, where you are talking to the Holy Ghost. You are telling the Holy Ghost how much you love him. You are appreciating his works upon your life. This is what we're talking about. You create the intimacy such that when you say, Holy Ghost touch, he goes to touch. When you say, Holy Ghost move in my life, he moves. When you say, Holy Ghost touch my family, he touches your family. It's not just about, Lord, I need a miracle. Father, give me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Something that must be give. Give me, forgive me, give me, forgive, forgive, give. If it's not give, forgive. Every time the Holy Ghost says, yeah. It's either you are wrong or you are begging. It's either you have done something very bad on that day. You are going to, Father, forgive me. It's okay, you are forgiven. The following day, Lord, I need the money. Give me. Then the following day again, you have done another mistake. Lord, forgive me. It's forgive, give. Forgive, give. Forgive, give. Forgive, give. Years are going. We are talking about you entering a room. Putting up your worship. Telling the Holy Ghost how much you love him. Pouring out your heart. This is the stage of outpouring. Here, nobody can stop you. You become a spirit. Try to stop me. You will see if I be stopped. I promise you, try it. Go on social media and talk about me. And see if I'll be stopped. Say anything you want to say. Gather together. Speak a word. It will come to nothing. For the Lord is with me. This is not pride. It's a reality. I'm saying this to you. It's the ability of understanding who I am. I have got times in the mountains. I've got times in the room. I have places I go. I pour out my heart. Then he pours out his spirit. I come back not normal. Somebody say, I'm abnormal.
I am abnormal.
Yeah.
I'm complicated.
So complicated.
Very complicated.
The Spirit of God is upon me. The Holy Ghost is within me. The Holy Ghost is with me. This is a stage where you look at the sickness in the house and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, come out. Not out of desperation, but out of power. There's a huge difference when you are praying because it's, you are desperate. As a, oh, I love my sister and she's in pain. Lord, I command in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. It looks powerful, but it's powerless because you're operating from desperation and not from power. People of power are people of power. They carry power. You say in the name of Jesus, come out. Yes. It comes out. Not because you are desperate, but because you carry the power.
Power is within you, Lord.
You have created a relationship with the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
there is a stage. The latter rain is upon you. What is the latter rain? It shall be my spirit. I shall pour upon you. You shall see visions.
Yes.
It is the latter rain level. And young men shall prophesy. The word prophesy there is not to tell a person their name. No, it is a place where you speak words with the power. When you say, I speak to this tree, be you removed. I speak to this disease, be you cast out. That says the Lord. Your situation, you are leaving my family. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy over my family.
Yes.
That is a level. You are not doing it because you are doing it, but because the Spirit of God is too much upon you, that when you see something, you just speak, not out of desperation or because you are so touched by the situation, but because the Spirit is so strong that you do not allow nonsense happening around you. Say the latter rain.
Latter rain. Glory to
Kuraba hataya mandereki. Sato kaba, shara kaba, handere bekituda. Sakuta raba, zate kebeke. Rika santa ramande. Shakato, vaati abaha. Zatuze eta kamande. Rusita kama, handaraba shaka. Reke patuski abranta ramande rebehe. Faso hante kabaha, tikarati ya mahanda. Su enti kipia. Oh, glory be to Jesus.
That pouring of the rain. That is.
The latter rain is the final move of God before the harvest. When you see the latter rain upon you, whenever you feel like the Holy Ghost is so strong upon you, it normally happens before a harvest. Normally a miracle is close by. When you see the latter rain, it's a sign a harvest is near. Am I talking to somebody? But the good news is the latter rain can be asked. You can ask the Lord for the latter rain. In Zechariah 10 verse 1. Oh my God, I'm trying to talk to somebody here. It's a dimension you can ask God. Can you read it? Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Let me read it. It says, can you read it?
Ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. The Lord
The Lord will make.
The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone.
When is harvest coming? When you ask for the latter rain. He says, when you ask God for the latter rain, there shall be grass in the fields for your animals. You shall harvest for your cattle. You shall harvest for your... It says, ask the Lord. It's the dimension that the scripture tells us we can ask it. Father, I need the latter rain. I normally pray like that. I said, God, send the latter rain again. When the latter rain comes upon you, you'll be very shocked. That week, you just be feeling like praying, being in worship, speaking to the Holy Ghost. It's not just a happening or a wishful behavior. It is not. It is the latter rain falling upon you. You must understand the latter rain is coming because you are about to harvest. You are about to testify. Do not ignore it. Babble in the spirit. Speak in tongues. Pray the Holy Ghost. Soak in worship. It's a level in the whole. Rakabatayama. Shurabahati Yabahanda. Stand up on your feet.
Glory to God. Thank you, Father. It's the Lord.
This is the rain of your grace.
I can feel your mighty power.
It is moving
this
place. La la la. La la la. Raise your hands. La la la. 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 La la la,
la la la.
As raise your hands. As raise your hands. I want you to yield to the Holy Spirit right now. Forget about your pain. Forget about your situation. Just yield to the Holy Ghost and create an intimacy with the Spirit of God. Tell the Holy Ghost how much you need Him.
Son.
I need you, Holy Spirit. I love you, Holy Spirit. Begin to speak. Begin to declare. Begin to talk the Holy Ghost.
This is a realm of your glory. This is a realm of your grace. I can feel your mighty power. Yes, it's moving in this place. This is a realm of your glory. This is a realm of your grace. I can feel your mighty power, and it's moving in this place. La la la, 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 la la la. La la la, la la la,
qualifier. Father, we commit ourselves to you.
Yes, Lord.
We give our presence into your presence. And we make ourselves absent to this present world. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory. Pour out your spirit, the latter rain. So we do not pray out of convenience. So that we don't just pray from our pain, from our suffering, but we speak and pray from power. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I pray for everybody, wherever you are. I decree by the Spirit of Almighty God, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. This is not just a hand stretched to you. It's the hand of a prophet. I stretch my hand towards you. By this very same hand that is stretched to you, some have been healed. Some have testified. The very same hand that God has anointed, I stretch towards your direction. Receive your testimony tonight. Receive your miracle tonight. Receive your breakthrough tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Congratulations. God bless you. It is done. It is done. Whatsoever you're looking for, it is done.